Chapter 15. The Raven's Choice.
Here, my Lord Korax.
The Strategium operative slowed the picked feed to a crawl. A bright light flashed on the underside of Zenith 312. Ejection spall glittered a shining cone into space, cloaking the departure of a swift needle of metal. Korax leaned in. The smell of drying blood had the crewman lean away from the Primarch. His armor was covered in it. Korax had returned to his ships, issued orders for the recovery of his most vulnerable servants, then set out again immediately at the head of his Terminators, leading swift rescue missions to snatch his men back from the claws of disaster. The companies which had deployed en masse to take the docking ring and the sunward hangars and gun decks of the city emerged more or less unscathed. They formed firing lines in the wider halls and avenues, shutting off major access ways with tanks and dreadnoughts ordered to kill anything that moved on sight. Their weight of fire, combined, mowed down the afflicted Carinaeans by the thousand, while flamers set crowds of hundreds ablaze. They contained the hordes and cut them apart. Those areas were secure and still in Raven Guard hands, though even the legionaries were left perturbed by the unremitting nature of the slaughter. It was the small advance units, sent to disable or capture key targets, that found themselves in trouble. Groups ranging from lone operatives to reconnaissance demi-companies of 50 men. All of them were stranded, surrounded by thousands upon thousands of citizens, rendered into raging beasts by the phage. Caught up in the city's warrens of ducts and corridors, the advantage of bolt gun and power armor was greatly reduced. They rapidly ran out of ammunition. They broke their weapons through overuse. Dozens were dragged down. Hundreds remained unaccounted for. A concerted push from the safer sectors was ridding Zenith 312 of its mindless inhabitants. Planned venting purged some of the central sections, but it would take time to secure the city, and the apothecaries had yet to determine if the virus was truly inactive.
"That is Agarth's ship," said Korax.
The sight of the small half-visible dart rushing for freedom turned his heart to ice. He had thought that perhaps the Arch-Comptroller had sacrificed himself along with his population in a misguided act of defiance. Murder-suicide would have been bad enough, but it appeared that he had condemned his people to death to cover his own escape.
"Freeze the image," the Primarch said.
The crew were nervous. They expected him to demand to know why they had missed this escape vessel, why it had not been noticed, targeted and destroyed. But Agarth had been clever. The ship launched at the height of the confusion caused by the phage. It was small, quick, unreflective, and shaped for minimum registration on auger systems.
"He has planned this for a long time," Korax said.
He pointed at the ship.
"This is why my father wishes to unify mankind, to prevent this sort of atrocity from ever happening again. War is one thing. But this is cowardice. He is scum of the worst kind," said Bran quietly.
His brother was beside him, equally incensed. Most of those on the wide command deck were born of deliverance. Agarth's actions were as callous as those of their Kievaran tormentors. Corvus Korax faced the crew upon the command deck of the Saviour in shadow.
"Arch-Comptroller Agarth is to be hunted down. Fleet to adopt wide search patterns. Find him. Bring him to me."
There were mutters of agreement, but not all were convinced of this course of action.
"What about the rest of the system?"
asked Agapito.
"The 27th Expeditionary Fleet will make an immediate assault upon the Thousand Moons, as per Fenk's plan."
Agapito hesitated before speaking.
"What is it, brother?" asked Bran.
"If we are not there to support them, they will struggle. With us at their side, we can end this quickly before the cities reach optimal firing situation. Without us..."
Korax's pale white face leaned towards his old comrade in arms, interrupting him.
"Agapito, Agarth has denied us the opportunity to show convincing force. He has escaped. If we allow Agarth to go free, we will undermine the Karanai Sodality's understanding of Imperial justice. The elite will see themselves free of consequence. The populace will despair that we cannot save them. We cast ourselves as saviors from tyranny, and the bringers of civilization to all men. We lie if Agarth does not face justice. Those who commit outrage cannot be allowed to escape. We will hunt him down and destroy him.
Ephrenia stood from her station at the deck strategium.
Forgive me, my lord. We should think about what Agapito says. Perhaps we should discuss this in private, she said.
Korax's eyes narrowed. Those around him reacted uneasily. It was not normal for a mortal to address a Primarch so bluntly.
Whatever you have to say to me, Ephrenia, can be said in front of all. Unless you dare not.
She smiled at him sadly. Ephrenia had been with Korax since the moment he had been freed from the ice, deep inside Lysaeus. Few knew him as well as she did. They both knew she did not wish to embarrass him. They both knew she would not let that stop her.
My lord, she said. The expeditionary fleet is struggling to contain the united forces of the Sodality. If we do not aid them, we will give the Sodality time to better coordinate their efforts at resistance, and the war here will drag on for months. Their fleet is waiting for an opportunity. If we break now, they will attack Fink's position.
She's right, said Bran. I hate to let him go, but we have to strike now. Listen to Fink. For the love of the Crusade. Agarth is one man. Thousands of lives are at stake. We have to finish them now. Do you, Bran, dare to question my command?
I am Primarch, and we are just the brats of prison scum, interrupted Bran.
A child I was when we first met, but no more. For 30 years I have fought at your side. We have known you since we all were children. I know you are wrong. Your plan was sound, but it has failed. This desire to pursue Agarth is driven by emotion. We must follow Fenk's lead now.
Do not address me this way, Bran, said Korax.
He put some of his inner potency into his words. As a creature of the shadows, rarely did Korax allow his innate majesty to show through his studied human guise. Nothing outward changed, but a sense of immense might radiated from him. Bran flinched from his lord's revealed glory, but pressed on.
I will not be quiet when you lead us into disaster. Korax, I am speaking to you as your friend.
You will be silenced,
demanded Korax. His voice thundered. This time he had no disagreement.
The oppressors of the weak can be shown no mercy, said Korax.
He stared at his attendants, leaving them with no doubt of his resolve.
This is what the Crusade is for. To raise men up and save them from the likes of Agarth. He must be punished for his genocide, or the freedom we bring to this system will be hollow indeed. Hunt him down and make him pay.